welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Well, some of you, from what I've heard, are surprised to see me standing here this morning because you thought I was on holiday. I'm not on holiday, as you can see. This would be an unusual thing to do while I was on holiday, although it's been done before. We've been with family down in the south. Just had a lovely Christmas. I hope you've had a wonderful Christmas as well. Yes. If you've been with family or friends or enemies, whoever you've been with, I hope you've had a really good Christmas. And as I said earlier, Happy New Year to you all from me and Kate. That was very enthusiastic clapping, actually, for quite a downbeat Happy New Year, wasn't it? Thank you, Brian. I don't think I've preached very often on the first Sunday of a new year, actually. In the early days, it used to be Martin Stringer, for those of you that knew Martin. He often got the job of preaching on the first Sunday of the new year, but as I'm going on holiday, it'll probably be just too many Sundays where I'm absconded. But it's a nice opportunity because you get to speak into where you're going and what's humming and what God's going to be doing. And I asked the Lord about what to do this morning, and I think very much what I've got to share is very much His heart for 2013. So that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
What I'm going to start with, though, is a video that I showed in November, so not that long ago, so you'll remember it. And it's just a very simple video that I made on my phone and photos that were on my phone of the coming together of this building. Because the coming together of this building is going to be significant in what God is going to do in the next year. But I'm not going to say too much more about that yet. So let's just remind ourselves, this is kind of thank you prayer while we watch this, of what God did. And this is just this building. There was a lot more that God did. We'll come on to that as well. But let's just run this short video. Team Kingdom Faith, eh?
Yeah.
Now imagine taking that energy that put this building together and putting that into what God has called us to do, which last year was getting the building together, and then what's going to happen in 2013.
Yeah.
Because every year God has built and built and built and built and built, hasn't He?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what's so exciting about what there's going to be so much change in 2013. I don't even know all of it myself, but I just know there will be, because it's time for the church to grow and develop and for us to have, I suppose, in many respects, broken hearts for our community and the people we work with and the people around us, because the church that Jesus is building is not a building. We've been building a building, but the building that Jesus is building is His church, isn't it? That all those photos, as I said, it was just something I made in November, that were photos on my phone. Apologies, by the way, to all those of you that helped that didn't make it into a photo, though some of you are probably relieved looking at the quality of some of them. But, as I say, it was just the photos I had. But there's been so much more as well. If we looked at the life of what's been happening up at Lamplugh House, you know, the number of lives changed up there from people staying there, spending time there, some doing specific retreats and having someone to guide them through it, some people just staying there. The events and things that have happened at Lamplugh, the men's summits last year were amazing times. And don't forget, we've got one just coming up. I won't be here to remind you and bash you over the head, so you just have to come. All right, men, 1st and 2nd of February. We have a terrible, terrible, terrible clash, for which I apologise, but it was nothing to do with me, because we've got our own men's summit, which is really, it's a time to pray together. All right, it's the men of the church get, and we pray into, and we hear from God over what's happening for the year, as well as just enjoy being together as men and enjoying a meal at the end of it. But the following week, of course, we have actually got a men's event here as well. It's CVM, Christian Vision for Men. Carl Beach, do you remember him from Faith Camp? It's his lot. But we haven't organised it. It's Nick Welford from Ebenezer Baptist who's been organising it. And they've actually got... So CVM are sort of kind of having our building for the day the following Saturday as well. So big apologies to all the ladies for stealing your men for 2 weekends in a row. It just happened that way. But what's great is that we can get together as the KF lot plus guests the weekend before and really pray and seek God so that when we come we can really serve and equip the men of Scarborough and the wider area. Yeah. And it's going to be exciting the following week to have, hopefully anyway, presumably, men from all over this area coming here to meet with God together. And Carl Beach himself is coming, so that'll be exciting to hear from him, because he always has a great word. He just has that ability to relate to men. So 1st and 2nd of February, though, is our first men's summit up at Lamplugh House. Okay, and of course we had the men, marriage empowerment weekends. They were absolutely brilliant, life-changing for many marriages. How many of you have been on the marriage empowerment weekend? A lot of people come from outside, but it's quite a few of us. As I put my hand up. Yeah, they're good, is all I can say. They're not for people who just got problems in their marriage. They're for anybody, and they're for you, whether even if you're considering getting married, it's a wonderful foundation. But they're brilliant. I don't know what they're like on bookings, but you can see Adrian about that if you wish. Also see Adrian to book in for the Men's Summit. Please book in. Yeah. It's £20 for the whole lot with all Saturday meals, or £10 if you just have an evening curry. The other big event, of course, next year is, well, what is it? This year, yeah, sorry, it's 2013. This year, yeah, for such a time as this. We are called for such a time as this. And we're absolutely delighted to have Paul Manwaring and Sue come back from Bill Johnson's church, Bethel, to come and speak at it. That's a real privilege to have him here. What's a real privilege is he's got such a heart for this place. I talk to him and Sue quite often on Facebook, and they send me messages about things that, you know, they've got in there. Their heart for what happened here and what's going on here. They really felt at home. They really felt that they were welcomed into a family, and they really feel that this is a significant place where God is doing something significant. That's always exciting when others come in and they got that feeling, isn't it? So don't forget this. It's moved on this year. It's not in April. It's the 17th to the 19th of May. And like last year, you really need to sort out work and book shifts or book days off around that time so you can be free. Remember, it starts on the Friday lunchtime, and if you're helping, you could be working all day. There's so much. We really need the whole of the team, to be honest. We bring in others from other churches to make it work, because it's such a big event. But try and get time off, book some holiday around that time, Thursday maybe, or maybe you want the Monday off as well, if you've got enough days to recover and ponder and pray. Why am I mentioning all these things? Because they're part of what is building the church, but events are nothing without people, and we're the people. As I said earlier, it's we've gone to church building, but now it's time to build the church. I've got another clip for you. This is a morning of clips. This is about what we're talking about, where we're going. Here's a clip from Evan Almighty.
Feel like living on the edge?
I remember creating this valley. Notice how the mountains line up east to west. I saw there'd be lots of sunshine.
Where are we?
Don't recognize it, eh?
No.
Now, this is where you live, son. It's this Prestige Crest. I wanted you to see the original design.
So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
There you go. I love Morgan Freeman as God. Right. Excuse me a minute. So, I love what he says at the end there. Why, you know, I don't understand why you chose me, because you want to change the world, son. And so do I. I think we're here. You see, I think 2013 is a year of the individual, but it's also a year of the team. Because the team is made up of individuals. There's no team without without the individual sort of members of that team. And as I prayed about what to say today, I just got such a sense from God of, I've really gathered my team together for this time. And there's nobody surplus. There's nobody extra. In fact, if you know of those that aren't here today for probably visiting family or whatever, get them to listen today. They won't get the video clips, but, you know, tough, you weren't here. But get them to listen to the message. Because there's something about today that I just want them to grasp, but I think is so important. And some of you are guests here today, some of you are just visiting. But in God's world, there's no accidents. If he got you here today, it's so that you could hear this message, whether it's because God's calling you here, or whether it's because God's giving you this message for where you are. Okay, that's between you and God. That's not up to me. But you're not here by accident. You're here because God placed you here. And you are a world changer. That means that God, for every person in this room, with no exceptions, because there's always, when you say stuff like that, there's always people that think, well, I'm not really part of that. It's nice to be here and catch up with what everybody else is like. But no, it's for you. Especially if you're thinking that. That means, if you're here for him, that he has a purpose and a destiny for you here. He says, Jesus says, I will build my church, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
And he says, I will build my church. Build is an interesting little word. You know how I like my little bits of Greek. Well, the word means, that he uses here, means the builder of the house. I am the builder of the house. It means to construct or to build up or to edify or to embolden. And I think Jesus this year is about making us a bold church. Not afraid to be Christian. Not ashamed even to be, dare I say it, religious. When I mean religious in the sense of a way of life that trusts and believes in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Not in the modern sort of use of the word of something dead and boring. Remember, that it's James that wrote, if you don't keep a hold on your tongue, your religion is worthless. He obviously prized religion. All right, it's just the way it's often used in modern Christian circles. To be religious is the most wonderful thing in the world. It is a way of life. That's what it means. The best thing, of course, is a way of life that follows the way, but we won't go there. Not just now. The word, when he says, I will build my church, I will embolden my church, I will edify my church, I will build my church. A lot of you will know that the word he uses is ecclesia, won't you? Yeah, I bet there's a lot in the room that actually knew that. That's the word. It's where we get sort of the posh English word ecclesiastical from and things like that referring to the church. Ecclesia, it's a Greek word. It's made up of two words. The first bit means out, ek. The second bit means called, out called, called out of. In other words, Jesus is saying, you are a people who are called out. I am calling you out of where you have been. I am calling you in to something, a movement. In fact, this wasn't particularly odd for him to say something like that. They wouldn't have been that shocked. Because it was fairly normal for someone who, you know, not, there were other people around that said they were the Messiah. And Messiah has always talked about calling a people out and building a people. It's an Old Testament concept, the concept of a called out people. You can find it, I wrote down loads of references, but I found it in Ruth and Samuel and Chronicles and the Psalms and Jeremiah and Amos, in all kinds of places where God talks about a called out people. All right. So when Jesus talks about building, and he's talking about building a people who are called out to follow him. And he's making a very strong claim that I am the Messiah. People sometimes think he didn't make a strong claim. To say in this situation what was going on, he's being very strong. I am the Messiah. It's, I am calling you. Now I looked up this word as well, the called part of the word. Really interesting. I found out it's particularly used of a shepherd calling his flock. That seems appropriate then, doesn't it? It's a call of authority as well. When this call is given, there's an authority that comes with it. It's something to be obeyed. It's also used, interestingly, given that connotation, it can also be used as an invitation, particularly to a banquet. I think Jesus knew what he was doing when this word was translated ecclesia, don't you? There's so much coming out of just in the word. Used of God, when the word is used of God, it means to call into existence. So as Jesus uses this word, he can see that something is being called into existence. There is a transformation taking place in God's people. It's also used to appoint people to a post. When God calls you, he also appoints you and he anoints you with his Holy Spirit. He gives you the capacity to do what he's called you to do. So it's an Old Testament thing. I got a quote here from a theological book. Jesus' announcement of his purpose to build his ecclesia suggests that the fellowship established by Jesus stands in direct continuity with the Old Testament Israel. I never knew that when he said that. When he says, I will build my church, I'd always thought, oh, he's talking about something different. No, in the context of who he was and where he was, he's just saying, I am continuing to build Israel. Interesting, isn't it? Now, the passage where this comes from, a lot of you will know, I will build my church, comes straight after Peter has declared Jesus to be the Messiah, yeah? Let's have a look at the actual passage. It's in Matthew chapter 16. I'll read from verse 13. No, I'll read from verse 14. No, I won't. A little bit of indecisiveness here. 13. I'm reading from the Truth version. When they arrived in the area of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, "What do the people say about the Son of Man? Who do they understand him to be?" They answered, "Some say he is John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others think he is Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." "Well, what do you think?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" "You are the Christ, the Messiah, God's Son," Simon Peter answered. "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed," Jesus said. "This could not have been revealed to you by any man, but only by my Father in heaven. And I tell you clearly that you are Peter, a rock, and I will build my church on the bedrock on which you are placed. And the very gates of hell shall not overcome my church. I give you the key truths that unlock the way into the kingdom of heaven, so that you have authority to restrict or prevent on earth what is not allowed in heaven. And you have my permission to liberate on earth whatever is liberated in heaven." That's a great passage. There's loads you can speak on that, but I'm not really going to do that particularly. Peter's name, again, probably many of you will know this, means rock or stone. And Jesus is actually kind of making a little bit of a joke, a bit of a pun. I don't know whether his disciples would have laughed or not. We can't really tell. When you read it translated through two different languages, it's hard to tell, isn't it? But he was making a pun on his name. The word Peter meaning rock. Interestingly, sometimes people say it means a little rock. It doesn't really mean a little rock. It means a rock. It means a big rock. It means a boulder, his name. But then he uses a different word when he says, "Up and I will build my church on the rock." He doesn't use the same word. He uses a word that means a great amount of rock. Or something on which he would build. So it's two completely different words. He says, yeah, you're Peter, and upon the rock, in other words, upon what you've just said, I'm going to build my church. But he doesn't write Peter off in that. He says, Peter, you're a rock. You're a boulder. You're significant. But he's not significant, even as a rock, even as a boulder, unless that rock or boulder is on the bedrock. If you put a boulder on a rickety wooden bridge, it's not secure, it's not even safe. In fact, it's going to be quite dangerous. So you could be mighty and strong and powerful, but if your life's not based on Jesus, if your life's not based in the Word, you actually can be very dangerous. You can cause a lot of damage. You can be a bit like the Goblin King when he falls on top of all the dwarves. You know, you're going to cause a lot of harm, a lot of damage. Some of you know what I'm referring to. If you haven't seen The Hobbit yet, you're sad. I've seen it in 3D, HDR, and at an IMAX, but we won't go there. Anyway, slightly distracted. Get back to this, as in back to Jesus, on the Word, that's right. Even a rock without foundations is fragile. All right, he doesn't write Peter off. He says, Peter, you're incredibly important in the plans I have for what's going to happen to my church. But unless you're based upon the rock, the bedrock, it's not going to work. And what is the bedrock? The bedrock is the very revelation he's just had. You are the Christ, the Messiah, God's Son. And then that's what Jesus replies to when he says, upon this I will build my ecclesia, my church, called out ones. Yeah. You have to apologize for the coughing and spluttering this morning. I had a bit of a... Yesterday I could only speak in a very deep voice, so you have been spared that. Well, the thing is, you might not feel like a rock. You might prefer to think of yourself as a little pebble. Let's look at some of God's rocks from the past. I've got another little video for you. It's been a morning of videos. And this is a video where God's rocks are being interviewed for the very important post of house group leader, starting with King David.
All right, next up, King David.
Thanks for coming, King David. What qualifies you to be our next small group leader?
Well, what was that word you used before my name?
King.
Yeah, King, right. How many of those am I up against?
My strengths. Plagues. I'm pretty good with the staff.
Can't decide who gets the last brownie?
Cut it in two.
Boom. Wisdom.
Parting large bodies of water. Desert survival skills.
Weaknesses.
Mountain climbing. Commandment retrieval.
Does that look weak to you?
And I can make a pretty mean goat sausage.
Okay, I mean, maybe haircuts. Women. Whose isn't?
So I lied. I said my wife was my sister. They were going to kill me. Why are we even getting into this?
I'm just not sure we're comfortable with you in a leadership position.
Look, Jesus Christ himself called you Satan. He was trying to make a point.
Get thee behind me, Satan, I believe is the exact quote.
Bathsheba. I knew you were going to go there.
It was a rock to the back of the head. I really regret that it happened.
And that's when you slept with the maid?
My wife said she was fine with it.
Abraham.
What?
Come on.
Okay, timeline. First I slept with his wife.
No. I didn't kill Christians.
Then I lied to him.
I was just watching people's coats.
Then I had him killed, okay?
They killed Christians.
It's a long time ago.
Besides, that was a different guy. That was Saul.
I've never killed anyone.
What? You got somebody giving you beef? Huh? You need something taken care of? Where's the app? Yo, bring it, huh?
Didn't you deny Christ 3 times?
No.
Nah, I'm pretty sure you did.
No.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
No.
Okay, I did.
No, never killed anyone. Why would you even ask that question?
This is the guy.
Hold on, I mean, I do have some questions about my qualifications. I've never been to seminary.
Oh, you'll do fine.
I really don't have a whole lot of experience.
Do you love God?
Yeah.
Do you want to help people?
Sure.
Do you have a harem?
No, I don't have a harem.
All right, we're good then. Thank you.
Let me think about this.
go-getter.
Oh, wait a second. Look who has them. Still got the tablets.
Oh. Okay. I think, although that's a bit of a laugh, there's a real deep truth in that God sees you very differently to you often see yourself. He sees you as that individual that transforms a team. And the only thing that ever stops us living at that kind of a level is not God, it's ourselves. You are what you believe about yourself. And you can either choose to believe the way you feel, which often depends on whether you had cheese on the pizza or not, or you can believe what God has said about you. Now, whatever you say about God, he's been around a long time. He's got a lot of experience of people. So he's probably worth listening to when he says, you are a leader. He says, I'm not a leader. Paul Abel, he might be a leader. And Kate Abel and Brian and Shona and that lot. But I'm not a leader. Yeah, you're a leader. That's why you're here. Because you're here to lead people to Christ. Everyone. You say, oh, I don't know how to share the God. I don't know how to do that. Look at that bunch of heroes and how flawed they were. How many people, we don't raise hands just in case, but how many people here have got a harem? How many of you have lied about your wife and passed her off, even though it might mean the other guy might sleep with her? How many of you have arranged for somebody to be killed? How many of you have actually killed somebody? You know, those were fairly big disqualifications, and that was just for home group leader. Yet God obviously thought quite different, because he used those guys in mighty ways. He uses people despite their flaws. It's not that flaws are okay and it's fine, we can go on being flawed. God works in us to change us. But flaws don't disqualify us. Whatever you've done, what even you're afraid of doing, doesn't disqualify you. Because that's another sneaky one that people get. People sometimes get used to the idea, yeah, it's okay, I'm forgiven. Everything that's gone before me, it's all wiped out, it's gone now. But they think, but I might make a mistake. I might do this. I'm capable of doing this. I sometimes think like this. I have these thoughts. None of which disqualifies you. All of which needs to be forgiven. All of which can be forgiven unless you choose not to, because you don't forgive yourself. You choose to hold these things against yourself. It's like you take offense with yourself rather than let it go. Give it to the Lord. Why does God see you different? Because he sees when you're a Christian, when you've said yes to Jesus, when you're following him, he sees the Christ in you. If you know Jesus, you're not what you were. Now, what you were, you're probably right to think about it like that. Because you were unacceptable to God apart from Jesus. He still loved you. God loves the world. God values life. It's precious. But it's Jesus that makes it capable of being in the presence of God. He's so pure, he's so holy, that it would destroy us. Unless there was a protection, if you like. If Jesus who is building his church, who's he using to do it? Experts? Professionals? Or just us? I know what I believe. I know what I know. Just a bunch like us. We make many mistakes. It's certainly not perfect. There's all kinds of ways that we could improve. And we have to be careful that we don't see the ways that we need to improve and then don't forgive the church for not being like that. We all have individual needs. I need to be loved. I need to have friends. I need to feel that I've got purpose. I need to be used. But if you focus on your needs, you will lose sight of God in his church. There's two things. What you do with those perceived needs of yourself is kind of contradictory. One is you know that you've got to sacrifice that. And otherwise, why did Jesus say, take up your cross and follow me? Was he just pretending? So one thing you've got to do is give up that bit of yourself that cries out for something that is not being met as far as you're concerned. But the second one is where I say it's almost contradictory, is you then think, right, how am I going to answer that need in the lives of others? If I've seen that need, if I'm feeling that need, there must be others. So what's my role? What's my part in correcting that? Because what it often turns to is, they need to do it, or they need to change it, or that needs to happen. Whereas the responsibility in God is the team is always made up of individuals. I'm actually going against that sort of sports saying, there's no I in team. There's a very big I in team. The team is made up of all the I's. All right? There is a me in team, so it's okay. The team is made up of individuals who make that team work because they care for the team. They love the team. They love, in more godly language, the family. Most of you would have spent time with your family over Christmas. Was your every need met? Families are not perfect. Were there members of your family that at times maybe irritated you? And yet God's model for church is family. Is it surprising that there will be people that irritate you or disappoint you or let you down? No, we are all flawed. At least as far as I know, there's nobody in the congregation yet that's murdered someone else by accident or on purpose. There might be some people that have felt, but no, we won't go there. Here's a couple of verses, and we're going to build on these throughout 2013, that are really why you are the me. You are the I that makes this whole thing work. Despite how imperfect we are, despite the flaws, we're seeking to lift Jesus up and live how God has called us to. One thing that's never right in a church is that churches never love one another enough. Do you know why? Because we're not God. The only one who's perfect in love is God. We're always going to come short of it. He's the only one who's unlimited. But when there's a lack of love in the church, or you perceive, oh, there's not enough love, what's your answer? What's your part in the team to be part of that changing it? Here's a couple of verses. Colossians 3, verse 3. Because you died with Christ, that's what it means to become a Christian. You say no to your own personal needs. Because you died with Christ, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You are in Christ. If you were the current copy of Fusion, and God was the Word, which He is, you are now hidden in Him. So that when you go to God, that's what He sees. You are in Christ. Make sure you got one of these, by the way. There's a lot of key things and dates in there. But that's not the only truth. There's another one that's the other way around. It's marvellous. How does it work? The second one is Colossians 1:27 that I want you to get, that we're going to build on. Foundational truths that enable you to live as God's called you to live, rather than living to a struggling standard. The second one is the glorious riches that are centred in this mystery, that Christ has now come to live in you, and in Him alone is your hope of glory now for an all eternity. I don't know whether you caught it in the middle of that verse, but the simple bit is, Christ lives in you. It's often the bit that's focused on when someone becomes a Christian. People will often say, Jesus now comes to live in you. It's a very real and complete truth. But the interesting thing is, you are now hidden in Christ, but Christ is hidden in you. You are totally and completely surrounded, in other words, by His love. This is why you can do the world-changing bit. This is why we can make a difference. Everything we focus, everything we see, everything we're going for will be impossible. That's good. Because if we thought we could do it, we would do it in our own strength and get the glory ourselves, and God would get pushed out the picture. Happens a lot. So by the grace of God, many of the things we can even see ahead of us already are impossible. Putting on this 12 was impossible. In fact, many of you thought it was impossible right up to the last minute, but because you're nice people and you were loyal and faithful, you went with it. And then we were all surprised at how God blessed it. This 13 is also impossible. It's beyond us. But it's not, because it's what God has given us to do. Lamp Blue House in 2013. There's going to be a lot of change happening up there. It's wonderful what God has done. It's seen in the last 5 years or so. It's seen a transformation in its youth. There's so many more people that are being blessed by that building, that are encountering God at that building. But to move to the next stage of what God is doing, there will be change. Yeah. It's like the change that occurred when I came. If you like Lamplu, as it was when I came here, it was scary to see what I was doing. No, we're not going to meet here as a church anymore. That would be one. That was a big, big thing for people that loved meeting at Lamplu. And Lamplu is a great place to encounter God. The 9 o'clock's up there on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. They're just intimate times. But there was a lot of change happened. And there'll be change happening in this year with Lamplu House. How many of you have met David and Jackie? That's quite a lot of you. David and Jackie, come out here for a minute. Let's give you a bit of exposure. Into the light. This is David, and this is Jackie. No, it must be the other way around. This is David, this is Jackie. They've actually been with us quite a while, but they're a very quiet couple. But God has called them very much here to develop this next stage of Lamplu House. Adrian and Den have been at Lamplu, and they are an amazing couple and have done amazing things up there. And I know, because so many guests tell me how lovely they are, and I always think that's a good thing. You know, someone that's taking cash off them is lovely. I think that's a good sign. But when they were coming up to Kingdom Faith, Adrian and Dan were very sure and knew that God had called them to Kingdom Faith Church, and they knew they were called to be part of what was happening more in Scarborough. And so when I asked them to run or to support Joanne initially at Lamplu House, we knew that it wouldn't be forever. And they said, we'll think it'd be for about 3 years, which runs out. About June, is it, this year? And they're gonna move into Scarborough and get and do something different from then on. All part of the changes. But in my mind, it was like, God, what's going to happen here then? What's going to happen next? And God sent this wonderful couple. And we knew as we prayed together and talked together that this was actually the couple that would lead Lamplu House. But they're going to lead it in a different way to Adrian and Dan. They are not the same. This man is very prophetic, so steer clear. He's one of these guys that gives it to you as he sees it, straight down the line. And Jackie's sort of behind him going, oh, don't say it like that. And this lady is very wise. This man is very prophetic. They make a great couple. And between them, they're going to develop the whole work there so that we can take it sort of to the next stage. What's Lamplu about? It's a place where people encounter Jesus, basically, and lives get changed. So we need to look at that completely afresh. How is that building being used to enable that to happen for the next season? Because the season that has been is coming to an end this year, and so we've got to move into the next season. So that's going to be exciting to watch. Lamplu House is a vital and key part of us as Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. You know, and it's the two buildings, if you like, are irretrievably mixed. There has been a set sort of shift into sort of a main centre, which is here, but it doesn't mean that both aren't absolutely key. So, yeah, if you've not met David and Jackie before, here they are. Yeah. Say to them over a cup of coffee afterwards and be excited for them, because they've got a real challenge ahead. There's all sorts of challenges around their own personal finances and jobs and how all that's going to work out. At the moment, it's impossible. But that's good, because we have a God that specialises in the impossible. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Sorry to do that to you. So, what's God's plan for your life in 2013? Well, I reckon it's to be part of his team as he builds his church. And all of us need to be, well, what's my part in that building? And sometimes we recognize our part by answering the deficiencies, if you like, or the gaps that we see. Why do we see them? Because we're the answer. And if you focus on what you need and what I need and what my mine is, you will actually miss the purpose that God has for you. If you have a need to be to have friends and to be loved and accepted in a church, and you don't feel you're receiving that, the worst thing you can do is focus on that. The best thing you can do is go and start meeting that need in others. Because it's when we focus on others, when we focus on others in the church and giving to them, you'll find that your own needs and your own purposes are met. They become almost incidental. They just decrease in importance. When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, if you focus on what you've got on the cross, you're missing the point entirely. Taking up the cross means you're just putting others first and you're not focusing on self. Because when you focus on others, remember that as you give, you will receive. So as you give to others, actually you will receive what you want and what you need. It's a sad truth that people often miss this, and they get stuck in a position of thinking, I need this, and if just that could happen. Whereas the reality is, if they could just step over that and start meeting that need in other people, they'll find it's met in themselves. It's quite a tough thing to say, really, but it is actually the truth. It actually is what brings the freedom. So, yeah, I believe it's to be part of the team in the church that God is building. I sincerely and honestly do. But you have to opt in. Jesus actually says when he sits down with his disciples at the Last Supper, stay living in me and I will continue to live in you. You have to continually opt in. It's not just I've done that now, so I'm all right. It's like a flow.
That's right.
You want a happy and fulfilled life with purpose and direction? Then for God's sake, don't do your own thing. God's intention is for you to have an amazing... It's written down here. God's intention is for you to have an amazing dynamic impact. It's for him to have an amazing dynamic impact on your life. His plan for you is to live in victory. And because it's been a morning of videos, I've got a fourth one. So I've used up an entire year's supply in one go. But I remembered it. I've had this on my laptop for ages and ages and never used it. I just remembered it this morning. And we're talking about following God's plans, whatever, this morning. And this little video, I think it's just a challenge to us all. Because this guy is a guy who's determined to live in Christ and Christ live in him. But he has been dealt an amazingly negative hand. That's inappropriate, as you will see. Let's just, we'll see if I say something or not after this, but let's just watch this last video.
I believe that everything is in God's control and is all part of God's plan for our lives. What sort of plan? At the moment, I'm really seeing his glory revealed through my struggles of having no arms and no legs.
Oh, man. A guy worth remembering when life isn't seeming so good or going our way, eh? Well, praise God. What next? We could have a call forward for all those who are committed to working together and being the me in the team. But it would be a call forward that may or may not mean something. I think there's only one response really this morning. And that's, as we finish, to have a determination in our hearts that this year I'm going to live the purpose of God in my life. And it's not about responding in a meeting. It's about responding all year.
Yes, come on.
It's not about what are my needs this year. It's about what am I called to this year. It's not about why did that happen or why is this happening. It's about what has God taught me through this. It's not about this is too much. It's about Jesus will teach me how to overcome. Amazing, eh? But it's not in a coming forward. It's in a going out. Because we are the called out. The ecclesia. Called by God. Invited by God. And as we go, remember that that build word means to make bold, to edify, to build up, to encourage. That's God's part. But our part is to opt in. Just as a finish, if you've never opted in, if you're not yet someone who knows Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Saviour, you don't have to go home the same this morning. You can opt in today. You can say yes to Jesus today. But it's not easy. It's about joining a team. It's about being part of God's family. And it's about answering the call of God on your life. But there is nothing that is richer. There is nothing that is stronger. There is nothing that is better than knowing Jesus. Amen. If that is you, then come up and see me at some time afterwards and we can talk about how you make those few steps. I'd love to give you a New Testament as well, a little Bible and some other stuff just to help you in those first steps. But remember, it's not just about a decision. It's about being part of something. Amen?
Amen.
Be blessed. We're going to finish there. Enjoy your coffee.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.